This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. This is New Beginnings, a pointed listening each and every week at this time. And I'm so excited that you would join us and share a little bit of your time with us as we talk about what we think are topics that are important to you. Joining us right now is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. His website is rippleconnects.com, oddly enough, and a telephone number for him is 763-438-1621. Good morning and welcome back, Joe McKenzie.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And I'm excited to talk about trusted sources for meaningful growth. Trusted sources for meaningful growth. Where did that idea come from? And what's the thrust of our discussion this weekend?
Well, it came from many years of being around a trusted group of my bench of advocates that I've talked about on New Beginnings for close to 7 years. Those people that are good listeners, that are your advocates, that are honest with you, give you that feedback. And reciprocally, you work with them to provide that same level of value to their lives. But these regular contact with bench of advocates, what I found was a new source for ideas, thoughts, thinking about things differently. I didn't slip into my own biases on how we're gonna help people or solve problems. Just the mere fact that I had regular contact, meaning whatever that means, if it's monthly, quarterly, a couple times a year, phone call, sitting across the table pre-COVID or after COVID over a cup of coffee. At the end of the day, Freddie, what occurred was I would grow from those conversations, meaning, oh, I never thought about it that way. Oh, I never heard of that book or that website. I was in a perpetual state of analyzing how I could grow, what I could do differently, how I could get better. Mm-hmm. And the source was people that I knew, people that were in completely different industries that I was in. And I think that is an overlooked area of constant or meaningful professional growth. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I agree. I mean, that makes a lot of sense because sometimes we can get caught just talking to the people who are just inside that industry in which we work. But when you have that diversity of thought, when you're talking with people outside of your industry, I believe that's where the gifts are. That's when you can start to open up to new ideas and relate the previously or seemingly unrelated.
That's exactly right. And that I think that's overlooked. I think, because I've known someone so many years, maybe they can't teach me anything. Well, that's not the proper mindset to bring to it. Be open to the possibilities that person may be experiencing their own growth. And, that iron sharpens iron mindset. Hey, let's challenge this idea of how best to overcome this obstacle or how best to coach someone in a career, get them ready for an interview. I love that because what I can do from that, Freddie, is take that back and say, maybe I should refine this. Maybe I should add that. That's helped me to grow. And I've got, and we're not talking hundreds of people here, Freddie. I'm talking my bench of advocates of 10 to 12 people that I have regular contact with that have helped me in the last 10, 15 years to become better as the co-host and career expert on New Beginnings, but also a better nonprofit leader, a better community leader. It's because of the introduction of ideas, the new introduction of resources, and challenging some of those biases that I might have built up by having this diverse group of people on different industries, different ages, different professions. What a wonderful way to have that constant state of meaningful growth in your life and beyond. No one should stop growing because they retire. Agreed?
I agree with that. But what do you say to these people who say, well, Joe McKenzie, I hear what you're saying this weekend. However, I've got 5,000 people who are on my Facebook, and I've got another 3,000 on LinkedIn. They're all diverse in their backgrounds and temperament and so forth, but I don't feel like I'm growing. What do you say to that individual?
I would say be open to who are the people that, and Freddie, they may, the people that we're talking about may not even be on social media. Mm-hmm. It may be someone that you've gotten to learn just in person. It may not be someone part of your professional network, but taking that step to go further, to have that regular ongoing conversation, you may develop a mentorship type of approach. It may be just, hey, iron sharpens iron, like I said. I would challenge that quantity is more important than the quality conversations, because if you add someone to your social media account and do nothing with it, with them, what value is there? It's just a number. Having that engagement, that level of trusted back and forth with people, mm-hmm. that's what's allowing the introduction of new ideas, new resources, and challenging some of the ways that you've been doing it for so long. I've grown just because people have challenged me on my approach, and I'm thankful for that because I know at the end of the day I'm growing. So to say to those people, don't look so much at how many. Think about who are those people, those bench of advocates that can allow you to have this type of regular contact. And Freddie, this is not a taking of someone's time or and resources. Reciprocally, you strive to deliver that for the other person across the table. I've had many people say, hey, thanks for bringing that added value today, and I didn't realize I did it. But you soon settle into that, okay, we're here to work. We're all in this together, sitting at this table. But those introduction of ideas, resources, challenging those assumptions will settle into that meaningful growth pattern throughout the year.
That makes a lot of sense. And Joe McKenzie, you mentioned you used a phrase earlier on. I want to bring you right back to that. And I think some of our younger listeners may not readily understand what you're saying. You mentioned iron sharpens iron's mindset. What does that mean?
Well, really, it's someone that you can bring out some thoughtful conversations about how you're approaching something, and maybe that person challenges you on that idea, but in hopes of finding the best idea. And so that iron sharpens iron makes you stronger, makes a stronger solution. Just being open to that allows a lot of people to continually grow. You think about some of the most successful people in the world have had mentors that have challenged them to do better or find a better solution. I'm not saying it always has to be a mentor. It could be that trusted advocate that says, have you ever thought about it this way? And then you have this dialogue about it. And then that just being able to walk away going, maybe I do have to change this. Maybe I do have to find a better solution. That's my interpretation of iron sharpens iron. I surround myself with people who make me better.
Man, that is so rich. Everyone, we're talking with Joe McKenzie on New Beginnings this weekend, our co-host, and we're talking about a trusted source for meaningful growth. We're looking at the benefits of staying in regular contact with our trusted bench of advocates, those people who know us the very best. And you also mentioned, Joe McKenzie, refinement and reinforcement. How does it show up in this type of relationship?
Well, I think where you have that regular contact, you may be able to take something that you spoke about a few months ago and say, hey, I thought about what you said back in March, and here we are in July, and here's some of the things that I found about that, and here's how I've done this, approaching this differently or saying it this way or what have you. That refinement piece, that continually back and forth with you, will notice with your trusted bench of advocates that there's going to be pieces of conversations you had prior that you're going to reintroduce to that conversation. And it may be that reinforcement or refinement. Hey, have you ever thought about it this way? This is what I found. That's really the hidden benefit, because you've established this really rich breadth of topics that you can introduce at a later time, because we're smarter than we were 6 months ago if we've done our research, right?
That's right.
So with that new information, and they're there to reinforce it or refine it, you could even take an idea that started in March and now you're here in July, even make it better. That's what I mean by the refinement and reinforcement. That's why those bench of advocates, those conversations are so beneficial to both sides, is that you, it's almost like, you know, the Greeks and Plato, and they would put out an idea that they would, discern and go back and forth on and learn from. That's really what you're creating here with your bench of advocates, is just that ability to get that idea out there and question it and critique it and, draw some consensus from it.
And that's one way that Joe McKenzie turns candidates into contenders. And you're listening to New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Today's point of focus is tenacity. Tenacity can serve you pretty well. When you push yourself across the finish line, or if you complete a project on time, that's tenacity, because it can help you succeed. While tenacity is definitely a good thing, sometimes the race is not yours to run. Some projects are better accomplished by slowing down. Sometimes it's better just to wait for that inspiration rather than to force a solution. The key is knowing when to wait for that guidance, when to wait for the ideas, for that success, and the way to move ahead. True tenacity is really a blend between moving forward and waiting for that great inspiration to come. Our point of focus is tenacity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Dr. Michael Osterholm joins us this morning, who is becoming a frequent guest. He's an epidemiologist, Regents Professor, and Director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, and an advisor to President Joe Biden. He's also author of the book Deadliest Enemy, Our Way Against Killer Germs That Explore Health Emergencies. A frequent guest, as I mentioned. Welcome, Dr. Michael Osterholm. Coco Gauff is out at the Olympics. Should the games be suspended given the worldwide participation from athletes from everywhere?
Well, first of all, Freddie, thanks for having me. It's always good to be with you, and I appreciate very much this outreach that you helped provide us to talk about COVID. Yeah, it's a very critical one in our community, so thank you.
It's our pleasure.
It means a lot. At this point, the Olympics are going to be a challenge. As you are aware, I've been advising the International Olympic Committee and the World Health Organization over the past 2 months about the challenges with the games and raising these very concerns that bringing all these people together with only some vaccinated, we still don't even know who's been vaccinated and who's not, that we're in the middle of this worldwide upsurge in cases related to the Delta variant, that this was going to be a challenge. So none of what's happening right now is a surprise, but it's terribly unfortunate. I think you're going to see major disruptions to the games with people either found to be positive for the virus, hopefully they do well, or, in fact, people who are exposed to people who have the virus who then are in quarantine and unable to participate in their events. So I think that this is going to be a challenging couple of weeks.
Well, everybody, we're talking with Dr. Michael Osterholm, epidemiologist, on our program this morning. Coronavirus cases are soaring. I don't have to tell you that, with the unvaccinated accounting for 97% of most of the new cases. All but South Dakota, Wyoming are reporting upticks. Arkansas, Florida, and Missouri are among those reporting the highest number of cases. Yet, Doctor, many people, including those of color, still have hesitancy in taking the vaccine. Is there a need to rethink strategies to help people overcome the mistrust or even complacency with regard to potentially life-saving vaccines in general?
You know, you said it very well. I should be interviewing you. You know, at this point, Freddie, you know, the problem we have is we have over 100 million Americans who have not yet been vaccinated or have not had the infection and are highly vulnerable to this virus. This particular Delta variant is highly infectious. It will find you if you're not vaccinated, meaning that in this community, the transmission is so that you'll find it. And we surely have pockets in our own state right here. If you look at the five counties in kind of central Minnesota, Clearwater County, only 43% of those who are 16 and older have had even a single dose. In Todd County, it's 45%. Pine County, 46%. Mille Lacs and Morrison counties, 47%. So believe it or not, those are actually some of the highest risk areas, often white middle class individuals who are not getting vaccinated. We surely need to do more outreach in the communities of color, the BIPOC community in general. Those activities are going on. But I think the important point to get across to people is that we knew right up front we'd have those we call vaccine affirmative. They couldn't wait to get it. They wanted it. In fact, it couldn't get to them fast enough. Then we have a middle group we call vaccine hesitant. These are people with real legitimate concerns, pregnant women, you know, young black men who have been told over and over again about how the government experiments on them. And based on Tuskegee and so forth, they have every reason to be concerned. And then we have those who are concerned about the fact that there may be some other immune problem that occurs getting the vaccine. And that group we need to work with a lot. Then there's the vaccine hostile, the third group. These are the people who truly, in many cases, don't believe that COVID's real. They don't believe that the vaccines are, in fact, safe at all, that this is a government experimentation to inject genetic material into you, which is absolutely not true. And so I think our job right now is really focused on that middle group. We're not going to get the vaccine hostile to change. We're vaccine affirmative already there. And so it is really important to get outreach. And, you know, it's of interest to this particular community here. On Friday of this week, we're actually having a webinar at the University of Minnesota from the Consortium Health Law and Values, in which we're talking about vaccinating at the University of Minnesota and the idea of mandates and so forth. And one of the speakers is Dr. Stephen Thomas, who is a leading black public health educator in this country at the University of Maryland and a tremendous man. And he's developed a program in Maryland, which we hope to export around the country, involving black barbers and black beauticians, where they are provided with extensive information. They become really just outstanding sources of factual information in the community. And, you know, when you got somebody sitting in the barber chair, you know, you got them at that point. And so they have had really tremendous success with over time, not one hit. You know, it takes time. But people who 3 or 4 months ago said, no way am I going to get that vaccine, are now getting vaccinated. And what we need to do is more unique outreach programs like that recognize the issues, the culture, and so forth. And that's what we need to do.
I see a friend of mine, Tito Wilson, on Broadway Avenue, Shots at the Shop, and he's doing that very same thing Fridays and Saturdays through the end of August. And when you look at that type of activity, Dr. Osterholm, yep. then you think about the five Democrats who visited with the vice president, and the vice president, as we understand, has been vaccinated, yet she went in to Walter Reed for testing and so forth. And I just read a memo that says if you save time, get two shots, then you don't have to go get tested. But why get tested when you've already been vaccinated and the vaccines are supposed to be safe against the different variants?
Well, in fact, remember the vaccines are 90 to 95% effective, okay. which is really good for a vaccine. So if you vaccinate millions and millions of people, even 1 or 2 or 3% who then still have an illness, even though they've been vaccinated, you know, are some important numbers. But the overall factors of getting vaccinated means that you are highly protected against getting any disease. And for some that do get disease, that very small number, it is a much milder disease. Now, where we see some exception to that are in the much older population. If you look at the number of severe illnesses and even some deaths in people who have been vaccinated, they typically are in people well over age 65, often elderly, where their immune system is just such that even with the vaccine, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with influenza. We know that that happens there. But for the average younger person who gets vaccinated, the vaccines are actually highly effective in preventing severe disease, hospitalization, and deaths if they do fail at all. But for the majority of us, by far, 90-some percent, the vaccines do protect us completely.
Doctor, if this Delta variant continues its wave and more people become ill or die, do you predict a need to return to COVID restrictions like in L.A. County where mask mandates have been reinstated in just the last couple of days?
You know, I don't think society will go back there. I think L.A. County is going to have a tremendous problem. It's not that I want people to get infected. I hope people wake up and understand why it's important to get vaccinated, why distancing still can be a very important part of responding with this Delta variant. But I just think from a practical standpoint, we're already seeing in L.A. County, for example, the refusal by law enforcement to enforce the mask mandate. And that, you know, there are very few teeth otherwise to get people to do it. So what we have to do here is really, you know, work hard with the community to understand, you know, if you get infected with this thing, the potential outcomes are horrible. I mean, look what's happening right now in some parts of the country. First of all 50 states are seeing increases in cases and some of the major increases. And where the first states really have been hit hard, particularly Missouri and Arkansas, I mean, their intensive care beds are filled. They don't have any room left. They're overrun. And that's going to play out in many other places. We're seeing it now in northern Florida. We're seeing it in the other southern states where vaccine levels are even lower. But as I just shared with you here in Minnesota, you know, we've got pockets here where we could see major outbreaks yet occur with this Delta variant. And remember, this thing is highly, highly infectious.
Well, our final thought this morning, I'm sitting in your doctor's office. What would be your best statement to me? Maybe I'm hesitant. Maybe I'm hostile. Maybe I'm accepting, but I haven't gotten the vaccine yet. What would be your final thought? What would be those words that you would share with us?
I would say go talk to Freddie. I mean, seriously, we've got to have peer support in our communities, leaders in the communities that are not getting vaccinated. It can't just be, you know, people like me, okay? You know, who am I to be credible? You know, most people don't, you know, have no any idea except I'm some professor at the university. It's really working with our communities, making sure that the information is there, making sure that it's accessible in a way that people can understand it. And I think that's the powerful message. And then it's time. Don't expect one visit's going to make a difference. It's a process. That's why the Black Barbers, Black Beauticians program is so important. It's time. This time, we'll give you this information. This time, I've watched young black men who 4 months ago were adamantly against getting the vaccine, who've been working in Big Mike's barbershop, for example, getting their haircuts out there in Maryland. And you know what? Just 2 weeks ago, 30-some of them got vaccinated while at the shop. These are people who weren't going to get vaccinated before. So it's going to take time. We don't have a lot of time with this virus circulating like this right now. But this is the kind of work we need to do with the community. The community has to have the voice. They have to have the support.
Dr. Michael Osterholm, thank you for being with us this morning.
Anytime. I appreciate it, Freddie, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
We'll do our best. Thank you for your work.
Take care.
Thanks for being with us, and New Beginnings continues right now.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us now is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, Jay Hapala. Jay, good morning and welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Freddie. It's always a great time to talk with you on the radio.
I know that you've got quite the reputation in the communities now with the work that you're doing with fraud and scams and so forth. And I would imagine that the fraud hotline, the Fraud Watch Network, is really active right now.
Yeah, that's right. We run this program to help keep people safe from financial fraud. And so it's a network, and we work with investigators, and we take reports of scams from all over the country, and then we share that information with the public so all of us can stay a step ahead of the con artists. And it is, it's bad out there now. People are losing a lot of money to these scams. There's always something new to look out for.
Well, what's the biggest concern right now? I know that giving up your personal information is a concern, but is there something that we should really pay attention to right now, Jay Hapala?
Well, what I read about, and it actually happened to me, there was recently a big data breach at a technology company, and a lot of people, millions of people, had their online account passwords stolen. Mm-hmm. So these could be your bank, it could be your email account, your social media accounts, and everything else. I got a notification on my phone from Google that a few of my accounts were compromised in the data breach. And so how I reacted to that was I went into those accounts and I changed my password. And then I did some other important ones that I didn't get notified about. So it's important to know if you get some kind of alert like that that says your account was compromised, don't click on that link. Don't click on that. That could be a fake one set up to get you to provide some information. Instead, you go online to your email account, to your bank account, log in, and change your passwords from there.
Wow, that's huge. Everyone, Jay Hapala this weekend talking with us about data breaches and so forth. So when it comes to passwords, is there a guideline that you would suggest to our listeners?
Yeah, I have some tips about your passwords, and bigger is better. So the most important thing is to have a long password. Now, we're doing math here on the radio. I can't even visualize the numbers, but I'll try to explain. If you look at your computer keyboard, there's about 90 different keys that you can use to make a password. If you make a six-letter password and you do the math, that's about 500 billion different options. But if your password is 12, then we're talking a really big number. To get to that number, you would count from 1 to 500 billion, and then you'd have to do that another 500 billion times. So the computer can count pretty fast, and the computers that these scammers use to crack people's passwords are strong. But if you count to 500 billion times, that's a pretty big number. And so that's why we recommend people actually use a passphrase instead of a password. Think of a sentence like, my cat is named Fluffy. And then to meet the requirements from the website, you got to have a symbol in there and you have to have a number. So maybe change the A to an at symbol and the I to the number one. And now you have a really long password that's easy to remember and makes it harder for anyone to break into your account.
Wow. So how often should you change your passwords, even with a long one like that? My cat's name is Fluffy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the more frequently you change it, the better, but mm-hmm. that's not reasonable to change. You know, you change it every so often. I say about quarterly. If you hear about a data breach, then it's time to change your passwords. But if you think of a holiday like Memorial Day or Labor Day, 4th of July, you know, Christmas time, and change it at those times, that's a good way to remember. And some people use password managers so they don't have to remember all of these different passwords that they have. I can't recommend one to you, you know, out there today. But if you go online and look in a publication like Consumer Reports, they'll have some reviews of different password managers that remember them for you on your device. And just make sure it's one that's well known that you pick.
That's really great information. And finally, are there any other scams that you're monitoring right now, Jay?
Yeah, this summer we've been hearing about a lot of travel scams, and I think because people hadn't been traveling, now more people feel comfortable traveling, and people are looking online for vacation rentals and good deals on hotels and maybe some plane tickets, and scammers are making fake posts with these beautiful properties out at the lake or on the ocean, but it's really low price. And the scammers pay money so that their search engine will show people these scam postings of these great properties at the top of the list, but they really could be fake and they're just to steal your information and money. And one dead giveaway is that if they require some kind of a payment other than a credit card, like a gift card, a wire transfer, even bitcoins that they want to get paid with, that's a big red flag. So we encourage people, if you see a posting about an online vacation rental, that you do use some words from the posting and you use the word scam, do an internet search and see what it has to say.
Wow. And if our listeners have any more questions or have questions about the details that you've covered today, can you give us that Fraud Watch number or the website?
Yes, sir. So the number that people can call anytime to get some help from a live person trying to figure out what's a scam or not, or maybe they've been victimized, they need to get some help, it's 877-908-3360.
Mm-hmm. And also, would AARP.org lead you to some of this information to if you've forgotten that number today?
Yeah, that's right. So if you think just doing a search on the internet, search for AARP and Fraud Watch Network, you're going to find us online.
All right. Jay, I can't thank you enough for being with us this weekend. Jay Hampala, the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities. Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to New Beginnings. And with us right now, we turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, a staple in our communities, taking care of people who really are energetic and really taking that really big next step in their lives. Kitty Harris is the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Freddie. How are you?
Unbelievable. So glad to be talking with you, because I know that when I talk with Kitty Harris, we're talking about some really exciting activities happening right there in the heart of our community. And I believe you've got some information about Alive and Kicking. First of all, tell us about who Alive and Kicking is.
Absolutely. So Alive and Kicking is one of our on-site partners, and it consists of a senior rock group, which starts at age 62 and up in order to be in it. And they perform throughout the Twin Cities at lots of different locations, but specifically for Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, they host monthly sing-out initiatives with the community in order to bring that music component in, because we know how important music is in keeping people connected, and it transcends generations. So we're very excited to announce that they are going to be kicking off their summer concert series.
Wow. So when does this take place? Everybody, we're talking with Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. We're talking about a concert series with Alive and Kicking. When does that take place?
So the concert series is going to start here in the next couple of weeks. They have lots of different dates that they are going to be doing over the next 6 to 8 weeks. So I would encourage people to go to their website, aliveandkickingmn.org. Some of the places that they are going to be at the Magnus Veterans Foundation, on July 24th. And then they've also got some upcoming dates at the Schubert Club Band Shell. They're going to be out in Bloomington at the park. And then we're going to do some in-person things at some dementia-friendly communities and homes. And so we're just so excited that everybody is fully vaccinated and ready to get outside using CDC COVID safety protocols to do what we love, which is share through music with the community.
Wow. Alive and kicking. And I've got to tell you that it sounds like, you know, a 62-year-old minimum requirement to be a part of Alive and Kicking. But it's more than just singing for this group, as I understand it.
Absolutely. Singing is the purpose that brings them together. And actually, a lot of the people who started in Alive and Kicking are former theater, concert, that type of background. But then you also have people that reached that age of retirement and thought, I still have more to give. I still want to be a part of community. I still want to make my voice be heard. And so it is a lot that they take on with memorizing songs and choreography and full stage performances. But again, it adds that meaning and that purpose to say, no matter the age, that I can still go out and perform and do and show. And we have members in Alive and Kicking that are up to well into their 90s. And so it just shows you that range of, you know, just that 30-year gap of our older adults, how you can still have such a meaningful existence and provide that energy through music.
Well, everybody, this is Kitty Harris with this. She's a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. If you can imagine, if you know, how many members are in this choral, and over time, how many members have they had?
Right now, there is about 35 or so members on cast. Different changes over the last year, of course, but they've taken in hundreds of members over the years. They have a couple subsets of the group, the rockers and the rollers, where there's people that want to participate in the group but may not have the flexibility to actually do the touring and the concerts and the weekly rehearsals because it is a very rigid schedule. So they've done a great job of providing multiple layers for people to participate. So they've had hundreds of seniors throughout the Twin Cities over the years participate in this program.
Wow. The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center presents the Alive and Kicking. The first of the series of summer concerts starts on the 24th of July, as I understand it.
Yes. Saturday, July 24th, they are going to be at the Magnus Veteran Foundation. And then their next date is going to be Tuesday, July 27th. At the Schubert Club Band Shell. So again, people can visit their website, www.aliveandkickinmn.org, or they can visit us on our Facebook page, Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and there's a link to their page from ours as well.
Kitty, are these concerts free?
Some of the concerts are free, and then some of them do have a nominal fee, like $5 or $10. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are outside, of course, and so people are encouraged to bring a chair or a blanket to sit down on. So when they check the website, they will be able to see, depending on the location, what the cost is.
Wow. That sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And can you give us an update on the, I'm calling it the reentry program coming from COVID over at the wonderful Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. What do things look like right now, and what's the progress report so far?
So right now we are fully open. All partners are operational Monday through Friday. So we still are providing our clinic services through North Point Health and Wellness. We're still providing physical therapy, speech therapy, pool therapy through Odom Health and Wellness. And our newest partner, the Lau Assistance Center, has continued to host community programs and breast cancer events. So everybody is, you know, we are fully open. Welcoming visitors back in. Our great room is back up renting to the community. So we're just excited to, again, with COVID protocols, be back open and providing services for the community.
You know, there are people who are saying that they've learned a lot going through COVID the last year and a half. What would be the large takeaway that you've learned or the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center has taken away from going through this devastating disease?
I think the biggest takeaway for us is ensuring that we have the proper technology in place to have access to our older adults to prevent isolation. I think that was the biggest thing, is that those of us who use technology on a regular were able to quickly transform to Zooms and WebEx and team meetings. But when you have seniors who actually don't only have a house phone and don't have a cell phone, trying to keep them on their regimen of their doctor's appointments and their socialization and different things like that, it's a really hard thing. So we definitely have to bridge that technology gap for our older adults.
Wow. What would you say to people who would like to learn more about the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Centers Center and get more acquainted with your collaborative partners?
They can visit us online at www.heritageparkcampus.org, or they can give us a call at 612-344-2221.
All right. Well, stay cool during the summer, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you. You too.
All right. That's Kitty Harris, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center in Minneapolis, and this is New Beginnings. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Many of you know that we have a study group here based in the teachings of Rudolf Steiner, and that I spent a year studying at his school in Switzerland. He created a great statue of what he called the representative of humanity, the Christ. And that statue is making a gesture, and many people who see it sort of wonder, what does that gesture indicate? What does it mean? And this is the gesture. For me, it means the Christ in us, to imagine it, to experience its impulse, its work in us. We have to go to the limits of our being. We have to stretch ourselves. What is my truth? How great are my thoughts? How infinite my heart? How generous my goodwill to others. How far can I go? Well, I want to put your hearts at ease this morning. And although Judy inspired us with her melody, her theme of infinity, it won't be necessary for my lesson to be endless today. We will come to a graceful conclusion. As a teacher of Tai Chi that I knew many years ago would say, now take your gesture to a graceful conclusion. And I'll hope to do that with a lesson. First, from June 14th to the 17th, Unity held its annual June convention online this year. They promise us next year we will be able to join together in person in Kansas City, but this year it was necessary to do everything by the wonder of technology. And it was an interesting process because it's only through these virtual gatherings that we get the idea of the good work we can still do, even if we aren't physically present. Unity was actually ahead of the curve more than a century ago. Because you see, the work we call silent unity meant just that. Creating a unity, becoming aware of a unity in the silence. And they asked people all over the United States and abroad to hold a thought wherever they were at a specific time, their local time, and to know that they were joining with others. More than a century ago, Unity was teaching the power of a virtual gathering. A virtual gathering. Coming together in mind, even when we couldn't be together in physical presence. So Unity already had that idea. But now, our churches all over the country are adopting technology First, for many of us, like our church, with the help of our good volunteers and with financial assistance from Unity Worldwide Ministries, we were able to develop our audiovisual system and our online streaming so that when the government required our church to be physically closed, we could still gather. Maybe it wasn't exactly how we wanted to do it. I notice how much some of you enjoyed one another's company this morning down in the rotunda and those good old hugs and so forth. But that's not always possible. But we can still come together virtually in mind, in prayer. So that's how our convention was held. And I thought I would just touch, not in detail, but just some of the highlights of what our Unity churches and centers around the United States and in a number of foreign countries, what's going on? What the main points and interests are at this time. The Unity movement is always trying to reinvent itself, to recreate itself for a new generation, a new time. And they are once again strategizing. How do we get the Unity message of power, of connection, of working together, of possibility within us individually, within our communities, within our world? How do we help people to really get that idea, at least in the way that we offer it in Unity? And so our Unity Worldwide Ministries, well, let's back up a minute. Some of you that are newer may not know our structure as a Unity family. I once served many years ago a Unity church, and I was quite surprised after I had been there just a few months. I became aware that people in the congregation thought they were the only Unity church. They had no idea that we are a great family of hundreds of churches, also in many foreign countries. Well, I knew that so well, at least I thought I did, that I was shocked to find some people that thought they were a church in isolation. They had no connection beyond their own walls. And so that became an important point for me to try to convey to a congregation how great, how expansive is our family. So yes, we are organized as a self-sustaining legal entity called Unity South, Twin Cities. But we belong to a greater family. The region in which we are placed in this country is called Great Lakes Unity. Now imagine this. It stretches from Minnesota and Iowa through the Great Lakes all the way east to Ohio, and as far south as St. Louis and Louisville. So it's a huge section of the country. Lots of churches in Michigan. So it's a big family. So that's our region. Now, we are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, the organization that holds together like a family all of the churches in the world. Somewhere around 700 in this country and in Europe, in Central America, South America. And one place where we have a lot of centers, which is quite interesting, is the country of Nigeria. As a matter of fact, we have a new student entering Unity ministerial training from Nigeria right now. So this whole family, this church, we are a part of. And we have to make an effort to remember how big our family is, how we can work together cooperatively, and how we can receive help.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.